This is the Ohio Writers Guild, and tonight we have Louise Pistol, and we are going to talk to her about her journey of being an author. But before we get started, I just want to let you know the Ohio Writers Guild has been around a long time, and we want to help promote writers in the, not only in Ohio, but everywhere. And Sandy Kachuri is my co-host, my co-mod, and she's not on yet this evening with us, but she just put together an amazing writer's workshop this past weekend in Yellow Springs. And just wanted to make sure she wasn't there. I wanted to scroll down. I have a couple folks, I couldn't see their names. So I'm keeping an eye on the attendees that are coming into the audience. I want to welcome Sarah and Jean and Dr. LaShawn and Dennis and Denise. So thank you so much for coming on board with us. And if you have any questions as we go, just simply put those in the chat and I'll keep an eye on that as well. And so I want to tell you a little bit about Louise. And let me find, she has this amazing, and I didn't print it in color, but she has this amazing media kit. And so if you go to her website, which is just louisepistol.com, you can see what she has put together there. And it's wonderful because if all of you, if you're aspiring writers and you want to get interviewed on some podcast, put together a media kit. And it's kind of the who, what, when, and where on what she's doing. And it's got some great pictures. And that way, if you're putting together an invitation or any type of event where you need to have some content or a picture of the person, or if somebody needs your picture, for example, you want to put together some sort of a media kit like that. Sometimes it's called a media kit. And what, there's another word besides media kit. It can be, it escapes me at the moment. But anyway, put it together. This is what she has. It's beautiful. So about Louise, she is a joy fanatic. She brings Southern charm and joyful inspiration as she encourages others to discover their own joy, no matter where they are on their journey. As Louise navigated her own difficult valleys in life, she emerged with a strong message of joy to share with other women. Her inspiration comes alive with real life stories of hope, love, and faith. Joy really is her superpower. Now, I know her from a previous conference. We've met and I have her book in my bookcase here at my house. And so get her book. Her book is called Discover Your Joy. Now, is this the only book you have currently, or do you have more than this?
I actually had another one come out about gratitude last year.
Okay. Perfect. So yes, please go to her website, check out her books, and check out her media kit. Now, Louise, I want to start and ask you, tell us a little bit about your backstory before you ever started writing. What is your backstory leading up to you deciding that, you know, you wanted to write a book? So tell us about your journey.
Well, I was divorced, and it was the first time in my life I had ever lived alone, and I was working very long hours in a stressful career that I did for 35 years. So I was stuck, I was struggling, and I was sad. And actually, my internal light had flickered, it had grown dim, and my joy light was almost out. And one Sunday morning, my minister preached on joy, and he used the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always. And for whatever reason, that one message, out of all the thousands of messages I've heard, that one resonated with me. And I came home, I started reading about joy, I started writing about joy, and joy became my lifeline. Now, I've been a lifelong journaling person. And the 10 or so years prior to this, I had been writing in my journal, and it was more from a victim standpoint. You know, I was divorced, I was working these crazy hours, and life just wasn't treating me fair, in my opinion. But then once I started turning my attention to joy and the study of joy, you know, I noticed my journals became more positive, more joyful. So 10 years after that message from my minister is when I decided to write a book on joy. And it took me 2 years to write it, and it was published in 2021. So I came from a career of 35 years in finance. And at this point, this 12 years after I heard this message, I was in a space that I could kind of put all that aside and focus on writing. And so here I am today.
Well, and let me ask you this. When you say you had a career in finance, give us an example. Did you work for a big company with, you know, like, was it just a small CPA office? Were you self-employed? What was your actual background? I'm trying to give our listeners kind of a feel, because some of them are like, oh, I don't know if I can even write a book. So what was exactly your background, so to speak?
I was self-employed.
Okay.
I had staff. And I owned an accounting and tax practice.
Okay. And so you knew your way around a little bit of business. You had that business background already because you were running a business.
Right. Yes. Okay. And I did. Okay. One thing that I did was I did write business articles, and I was involved with the state and the national accounting societies. And, you know, I had written talks that I had given for those organizations and all. So I had a little bit of experience, but it was all about accounting and tax and nothing about joy. There's really nothing particularly joyful about IRS, you know. So it was a big switch. It was a big switch for me, for sure.
Yes, I can see that. Now, I that kind of answers the question, what motivated you to actually write the book, but were you still working in the accounting firm as you decided you were going to write this book?
I actually signed the contract to write my book in May of 2019, okay. And I closed my office in July of 2019.
Okay. So there for a couple of months, you kind of already knew you were going to close, retire, whatever. Now, did you retire at that point from the accounting?
I did. I kept a few accounts and you know, friends and family. And I have since kind of gotten away from all of that now.
Okay.
And so my time is mine. And now I am, you know, working on more things, and I actually have more time available to me.
Okay. Well, my question then is so you signed the contract with, and for those of you that are listening, and I'm just going to give you a little overview, and you might put in the chat, because we've got a nice little audience. We have Denise and Dennis, Dr. LaShawn, we have Jean, we have Linda, we have Sarah, we have two Sarahs. So welcome. And put in the chat, if you will, if you're published or if you're not published, you know, kind of where you are in your writing, so that we kind of can talk directly to where you are, because the whole point is that we want to bring tons of value to you to help you get published if that's your goal. And so with that said, you know, again, put in the chat a little bit about yourself. But for those that are listening, you have this one end of the spectrum of traditional publishing, all the way to the other end of the spectrum of being self-published. And then there's 101 hybrids in the middle. And that's where it gets hard to sort out all of those different hybrids in the middle. Dr. LaShawn said, I have published an article looking to publish a book. Okay, perfect. Jean says, not currently published, but I'm submitting some short stories for publications while I work on my novel manuscript. All right. It looks like we've got some writers in the house. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. And Sarah says, beginner, have not written much for publishing and rather for personal thought and philosophical reflection. So again, she's writing. I can't tell if this is Dennis or Denise. I can't tell. It says, this is my first webinar with the Guild, so I'm just here absorbing info. I am not published, but once upon the time, I had a blog. Okay, very good. Linda, this is my first time here with the meetup group. I have one finished children's picture book. Good, good, good. And I would like to know how you choose a publisher. What process or cost did you consider? And we're going to talk about that. Because what happens, again, is that you've got this whole traditional end where the only way to get into a publisher clear on that traditional end is through an agent. So the question is how do you choose an agent? And you have to choose one, of course, that you can work with rather well and work together to get into publishing. Self-published two books. It looks like Dennis, self-published two books of poetry. You have four manuscripts in the can. Okay. Oh, you're really writing away. Good for you. So anyway, what happens then if you're not going to go that publisher, traditional publishing route, and you don't want to go self-published where basically you have to wear all the hats and figure out all the steps, then there's this, all these hybrids in the middle. That's where the waters get a little muddy trying to choose which in the middle of the road you want to go. And I think, am I correct? Louise, you actually had one of those in the middle type publishers.
Yes, I did.
And I did too. And I'm published with one of those as well. Not the same one, by the way. Louise and I picked two different routes to take, but both are publishers that are kind of in the middle. Sarah says, I'm an unpublished author. I feel too scatterbrained to really understand how to write and have a lack of expertise. And we're going to talk all about that. So Louise, here you are. You've decided you're going to write. You've signed a contract with one of those in the middle publishers. And you now are going to retire from your corporate job that you created for yourself, and you are going to write. How did you get started? Did you feel like, I can't wait to sit down and start writing? Or did you sit down to that blank page and say, what do I start with? How do I start this?
Well, there's one little piece of information here that I need to insert is the September before I retired, I remarried. And I actually married my high school sweetheart.
And my goodness, congratulations.
Thank you. Whole nother story there. Actually, that story did get published in a magazine. So that was really my first published piece and something that was really a public information. But Randy came on board and he was already retired. So it made sense for me just to go ahead and close my business and move what I was going to keep home. And he was very on board with that. He was very supportive of all of that. We also, in the meantime, bought a place at the beach. And so that is my real inspiration place, is the time that we can spend at the coast. And that is where I think you're just away from everything, and I can go there and it just fills me up with all these wonderful ideas and all these thoughts. And it's like, I just can't write fast enough when I am there. But once we got home, so then what I wasn't used to for 21 years that I have been alone, as you know, we're making dinner and I've got somebody to spend the evenings with. So where before my time was all mine, I now wanted to share it with my new husband. So, you know, it was a total about change for me when I did decide to write. But I did take my days, and I still do that. I try to spend my days writing, researching, speaking, you know, during the days so that I can spend dinner time and evenings with my husband. I was excited to write, and I was excited that I had a contract and that there was a deadline attached to it. So I needed to finish by a certain date or it was going to cost me. So I had motivation to keep going. And I sat down and started writing, and
A good healthy deadline.
I know. Oh my gosh. Had a fabulous editor that really got me through. And the editor is what I really believe we all need. Honestly, I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't had somebody so good backing me up.
I get it. And again, my experience is similar to Louise, except in the fact that I picked one of the middle of the road type publishers as well. And but my package came with the editing included. And I'm thinking, if I think back about the one that you had, Louise, yours did not include the editor. You had to pay for an editor separate. Am I correct?
Yes, so I did.
How did you find an editor? And I want to say welcome to Sandy. Sandy, thank you for jumping on. Sandy is my co-host, my co-mod. So thank you for being here. And so back again, how did you actually find an editor?
She was actually in the same group that I was in. And even though I did not know her, I had a fair amount of interaction with her to the point that I was comfortable reaching out and saying, this is what I need. Do you think you can help me? And she was very generous with her time to show me what she could do, what her recommendations would be, so that I kind of knew where I was going. But I do think the editor is a big part of our writing journey. It was mine. It was a big part. And I mean, she turned my writing into a masterpiece. And I tell her that every chance I get.
And so for those of you that are listening, just keep in mind, you know, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to get your story out there on paper, you know, get your manuscript together. And then you can start looking at how in-depth you want to go with your editing. And there's all kinds of levels of editing. And again, for those of you that are listening, we do have a little mastermind where we meet up once a month and we talk about those different levels of editing. And we talk about all the different types of publishers that you can go with. And we talk about all those things. And so if anyone is interested, again, just touch base with me at kathybenner.com and we'll get you connected. Sandy is on the call. She is my co-host. And Sandy, I was just bragging on you on your Into the Springs workshop that we just came off of. It was a wonderful, amazing workshop. Again, for those of you that are listening, watch for some workshops. Go to some of those. Tap into some writers groups. Listen to some critique groups. It's amazing on what you can learn if you just You got to rub elbows with some of the other writers if you're going to be a writer. So you want to be in the room. You want to at least be in the room. I'm going to jump over to Sandy for just a minute. Sandy, say hello to all of our listeners today and tell them just a tad bit about what you do. And then we're going to go back and ask Louise some more questions.
Thank you. I was kind of in a Zoom trap there for a while before me in. Anyway, hi, I'm Sandy Gachurik, and I'm a writer myself, but I also direct a writer's workshop in Yellow Springs, Ohio, at the Mills Park Hotel, the first weekend in August. We just finished up August 4th through the 6th with Jane Friedman and Jason Sanford, and I welcome 55 people. And I think for the number, that's the largest I've ever dealt with, I thought, okay, how am I going to make this group feel like there's only like 30 of them? And I think I pulled it off. There was, and you're definitely right. There's an opportunity Part of the writing world is community. You hear that word so much, it's almost becoming tired, but it is. You're sitting around a table that you kind of gravitate toward every time you walk in the room, and you see those same faces, those same nine people around your table, and they're all dealing with the same sort of issues. And writers, somebody has a secret you hadn't heard, or it's just amazing where your answers can come from. And good speakers are good too. I had two excellent ones that brought up issues, some that might be over one's head, but it didn't matter because somewhere down the road, you're going to meet that situation mm-hmm. and you're going to think about, I remember someone talking about that. So that's what I do. I schedule it. I work it. I try and mesh my featured guests together so they can not only work in the same room the whole weekend with everybody else, but there will be times where they'll be sharing a session in which they can collaborate, add to, and enrich things. And next year, I am working on it. It's August 2nd through the 4th at the Mills Park. And we're doing mystery and the Ohio Narrators Association. So what if you want to narrate your own book? This group will show you how and what kind of technical equipment, what should the space look like? So there's a lot of how-tos to help you, but I'm very much into it's all about you, the writer. And rather than being more or less a passive sitter in the audience, I want you to be able to ask your question whenever. Thanks.
And Sandy, it was wonderful because there were a lot of questions and answers that went on that weekend, and I loved it. It was only the second writers conference that I had been to, and I loved everything about it. So I can't wait to go again. Dr. LaShawn says that the Literary Cleveland is sponsoring an incubator writing conference September 18 through 23, and it's at litcleveland.org. So just an FYI for a writing experience. So if you can, you know, jump in and attend some of these conferences. Because again, it does several things. The first thing that I think a writer's conference does is it allows you to realize that getting published is possible. Because so many of us that have never written before oftentimes think, I don't see how I'm ever going to get published. I don't see that this is even possible. And when you're in a room full of writers, you realize that not only is it possible, that it is probable that if you follow the path, you're going to cross the finish line. And so that's why you want to surround yourself with those types of folks. Now, that is how I met Louise. We met at a writer's conference, and I have her book in my bookcase. On a little side note, her publisher has a special place in my heart. And so I have probably, I'm going to say 30 books that came through that publishing company of authors that I have met personally and have a personal relationship with them. And so they have a special shelf in my bookcase just for those folks. And so, if you love books, you get what I'm talking about. For those of you that love books, you understand that. So anyway, when you started writing, how did you find the time? I mean, did you schedule that you write every day at 9 o'clock? I'm going to sit down and write. How did you put together some sort of a schedule so that you could get across that finish line?
I did. And I was pretty much writing Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 was my schedule. And then whatever else needed to happen in that time. And there were often appointments and things, you know, where you have to take that time out. But I did try to keep it regimented. I hate to use that word, but that's what it was, as if I was still working my job. Because, okay. You know, I was used to having work hours and being there at a certain time and work until a certain time. And I tried to just keep that. I pretty much have always left my weekends free, and I may write a little bit. I mostly read on the weekends, and I would read and study on weekends. And if I felt like writing, I maybe would, but I wasn't dedicated to it during the weekends as I was during the week.
Okay. So how did you know when you were actually ready? Because you signed this contract. that's kind of a big commitment, because not only are you committing the time that you're going to write a book, but you're committing the money. And again, for those of you that are listening, you've got this whole traditional publishing where you don't spend money, you know, you find an agent and, you know, and you're going the traditional route, all the way to the other end of self-publishing, where you're having to put together everything, the manuscript, the editing, the cover, the ISBN number, you're having to do it all. And then there's all these hybrids in the middle where some of it is done for you, some of it is, we're going to show you how. I mean, it's all different variations and you can choose what works best for you. But oftentimes there is a financial commitment there. And so not only do you have to make the time commitment, but you have to make the financial commitment. How did you know you were ready?
I just felt it. I felt it in my heart. I really did. And I realized I had only been married a very few months at that point. And I went to my husband and I said, this is what I want to do. And this is what it's going to cost me. And like I said, he was very, very, very supportive, you know, and has been from day one. So I just knew I really did not hesitate at all. You know, when the opportunity came, I just felt like this is what I want to do. And I guess I had known probably for 40 years that's what I wanted to do was write. And I had written a children's book that nothing ever happened with. And, okay. You know, I had peddled with some things along, and it's what I really wanted to do. And it's still what I want to do. So, when I had that opportunity, I just jumped on it.
Well, I'm looking at your website and I see that you have created this business around your book or books, because now you said you have a second one that's come out. And so tell us a little bit about what is your first book about? Who is it for? Who would benefit from reading that first book?
The first book, Discover Your Joy. And it's a daily inspirational book. It's geared to women, probably age 35 up, but really anyone who wants to start their day on a positive note and just feel better about their day. In just that few minutes, they can read. It's a positive affirmation, a short inspirational story. And then it closes with either a quote or a verse, and it will set the tone for them to have a joyful day. A few minutes of time there. And I know sometimes that's hard to carve out that, but just get up 5 minutes earlier and do something like this. And it will bring more joy to your life for sure.
Well, what's at stake if someone lacks that joy in their life?
Well, unfortunately, it's a life of sadness and despair and negativity, which turns into a downward spiral for anyone. I mean, you've probably met someone who's constantly complaining nothing is right in their life. And sometimes all they need, is someone to show them the light and a way out of their darkness. But often, and I've met some of these people, and perhaps you have too, you know, you'll meet someone who doesn't want to be happy and surely not joyful, and they're not happy unless they're unhappy. And
that's, you know, funny you should say that. I have a couple of friends like that, you know, sometimes when I know it's time to meet up with them for lunch or whatever, I'm kind of like,
I know. And unfortunately, you know, I had someone who was very important to me that I sort of had to distance myself from because the negativity was just overwhelming. But I do want to tell you a short little story about my friend Emily. And she wrote to me one day and said that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And she told me all the facts that she knew at that point in time. And she closed her message with, "I am hopeful, I am joyful." And I thought, you know, in light of her diagnosis, if she could say to me, I am joyful, then there's hope for all of us to have joy in our lives.
That's a powerful story, because that would be, I think, hard in her position to end her news to you that she is not only hopeful, but joyful. What are some specific examples of ways that we can choose joy for ourselves? And I don't know about you, but we've got all of these would-be authors in our audience. And sometimes you just feel like, I don't know if I can do this. What inspiration can you give to them that they can do this?
Well, the first thing I would say about, no matter what you're trying to do, whether you're trying to, build a brick wall or write a book, is expressing gratitude. And it is amazing what gratitude can do for our lives. And if you don't do anything else when you get up in the morning, just think of a couple of things that you are grateful for. It sort of sets the tone in your attitude for the day. And one of the quotes that I use in Discover Your Joy is that gratitude is your pathway to joy. And you can do this. The positivity is a big part of this. You know, affirmations, telling yourself, I am going to do this. I can do this. I am worthy of this. And being around positive people. But another thing that's real important to me is to get out and spend time in nature without your phone. One of my favorite things to do is to sit on the porch. You know, we've got birds and my wind chimes are making their little noise, and there's bunnies and rabbits and trees and bushes, and there's always something in bloom. And that just refreshes my spirit. And I think we have to find that place of inspiration. And like I said, the coast is number one, and my porch is probably number two. But we have to find that place where we can go that gives us what we need to write. Now, there's a lot of people that sit in their offices at their computers and write. That's not me. I need that inspiration around me. And once I sort of get it outlined and maybe draft on paper, I will come and put it on the computer then.
I get it. One of my favorite ways to write is I like to take, and again, Dennis, he said, I need my phone to take pictures. I actually need my phone and I can open up a Google Doc and use the keyboard and then click on the little microphone and I can talk into my phone. And it actually, my Google Doc will actually type what I'm saying. No punctuation, no paragraphs, none of that. But you can take a walk through the woods and tell an entire story. There's no one there to interrupt you. There's no one to tell you it's that you're writing it wrong. There's no judgment zone. And you can just talk into your phone and tell a story. And then you can sit down at your computer later and your Google Docs will also be on your laptop or your desktop. And you can open it up and do your first rounds of edits. And you'll be amazed how many words you can get on a paper if you get some exercise and you get some fresh air and you're out there so you can kind of write and walk and talk all at the same time. So I get that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful idea. And in fact, I've kind of just recently created what I'm going to call my secret garden, kind of at the back of the property. And there's one lone chair there. I didn't want anybody else back there with me. So there's one chair, my chair, and that would be a lovely place for me to go and sit and talk my stories, speak my stories and come in and transfer them later.
Okay, now I want to bring this up to this group that's listening, all of you authors in the audience, is I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to overcome the want to edit as I'm writing. If I'm sitting at my computer and I'm trying to write a story on my laptop or desktop, I have a tendency to write a paragraph and then I want to go back and read it. and go, oh, okay, should I say it this way or that way, or should I punctuate different? And next thing you know, I've lost my flow. I've lost my momentum of telling the story because I'm trying to edit while I'm writing. And that was my biggest hurdle, was getting away from that and just letting it come out on paper and then going back later. As a matter of fact, I now have a system where I call it getting cold. I like to get it out, get my story out, and then let it get totally cold and walk away from it and maybe come back to it the following day. And sometimes I'll read it and go, what was I thinking? And then sometimes I read it and go, that was pretty good. I can just clean this up a little bit. And I've got the beginnings of a great story. And so I had to overcome that want to edit as I write. So was that ever an issue for you, Louise?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And it still is today. You know, I have this sense of perfectionism and it's like, I cannot get up and walk away from it. This is not perfect. And so it is difficult. That is probably the hardest thing for me about the writing, is not worrying about what it says or what it looks like and just write it and come back to it later. It is extremely difficult.
I get it. So now you have a second book that is already published. Am I right?
Yes. And I actually self-published it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is did you go through the same publishing company or did you make a different decision and why?
I did self-publish them. It is, I'm going to say, a combination book and journal. It has, like Discover Your Joy had, inspirational stories for 366 days. This one has 52 stories, one for each week, and then enough lines for you to list gratitude every day of the week for that particular week. And so just based on what it was my opportunity to give it a try to self-publish. And actually, I have been very pleased with the results, pleased with the sales. It has done well. And I don't know if this is the time you want me to say this, but I'll go ahead and say it, is I am working on a third book.
Okay.
And it will not be self-published. And it will not be through the first publisher. So I'm kind of back where you're talking to everyone else about this middle of the road. And I know I will do something different. I have some ideas, but I have not really made a decision at this point. At this point, I'm just writing.
Okay.
And I'll get to that.
So my question, and again, just to try to help those that are listening to this live or that might listen to our replay, what is your thinking process when you first got the first book got published and you found the first publishing company? Is it something that, and this is kind of how it worked for me, I was thinking, oh, I really want to write. And when this came across my desk, I was like, oh, here's somebody that can help me, because I didn't have a clue where to start. And so I kind of latched onto that group and I learned a lot being in the same group that you were in. And I learned so much. And so from there, I knew, because I didn't know what I didn't know. And once I hung out in that group for a couple of years, went to a couple of conferences. And once I did that, I had a better idea of what questions to ask. And so I had a better idea of how to sort it out. And so, again, it was a great how-to. And so from there, your second book, you decided to self-publish. What kind of questions were you asking and what kind of answers are you getting as for your third book? What makes you decide the big question is what makes you decide that you don't want to self-publish this third one?
I feel like it needs... I hate to say it this way. I want a higher level of expertise involved. The first book is a true book. It's a true book. The second one has a lot of feeling of the book slash journal. And I want this third one to be more like the first one. And I just want it to be up and coming. You know, I want it to be great. And I think I need help to make it great.
Okay. I get that. And that's kind of where I'm at as I search for how I want to get published. I think I want somebody that kind of knows their way around the publishing industry a little better, so that they can direct me a little more. And that's why these conferences are so important, because you do get the big picture of where you want to go with your work. And it's important because, and then again, I know some folks that have published and then down the road, they said, oh, you know, I did that, wished I would have done this, and they republish.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't feel, for those of you that are out there, just start, just go ahead. If all you can do is you say, gee, financially, all I can really afford to do is self-publish, that's okay. Because there's all kinds of opportunities out there. And you just have to start. If you never start and you never do that first one, you're just going to talk yourself out of it. And don't talk yourself out of it. Talk mm-hmm. yourself into it. Take that next best step. Yes, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Sandy added into the chat that she agrees with Dr. LaShawn that the Incubator Writing Conference is an excellent one. She attended last year and was amazed at how it catered to the writers, and she believes it was for free.
It was. So it was.
Check it out. Yes, check that out. And and also Linda, she says she loves to walk and talk in the woods. Yeah, she loves to do that same thing that I like to do. So that is great news. So you're working now on the third book. Do you have a title already for your third one, or have you come up with a title yet?
No, I haven't. But if I may, I'll tell you just a teeny bit, just a couple.
Okay, absolutely.
The first book, Discover Your Joy. It's an inspirational book, and there's a fair amount of references to God and there's scripture, but it is by no means a devotional, and it is not a faith-based book. This one will once again be about joy, but it will be 100% faith-based.
Okay.
And so that's why it's taken me a fair amount of research on this one, because using the Bible as my reference, I've got to get it all right. You know, there's no room for me to misquote or misstep or mistell a story. So I am working on that, and it may even take me longer than the first one, but I'm working on it.
Well, and the message in that, again, for our listeners, is be authentically you when you're writing. And that's why I like to write where there's a no judgment zone, you know, like I'm away from the house, or I'm away, you know, taking the walk in the woods or whatever, where you're writing authentically you. You're not thinking, well, if I write that, Aunt Sally might not like it. And if I write this, Uncle George might not like it. I said, just be authentically you when you write, and your tribe will find you. Your tribe will find you. And so
you're right.
Yes.
I think you're right about that. And I like what you said, being away from the house. And I did write probably a huge amount of that first book at a local coffee shop. I mean, I don't even drink coffee, and I was a regular at the coffee shop every morning.
Now, another thing that I like, a little hack that I like to do, is I like to get up kind of early before everybody else. I run a bed and breakfast in my home, and guests start to move around, you know, and then everything starts to get crazy busy. And so I like to get up when it's really still dark outside and there's nobody up but me, and I can write for about an hour each morning. In those early morning hours. And that's my favorite time to write. Because again, it's just me, and I don't have, the phone isn't ringing, and nobody's asking for anything, and nobody's asking directions to the airport or wherever, you know. It's just a quiet time for me. No one knows I'm up. I don't tell my adult kids that I'm up, so they're not calling me. And it's just a perfect time for me to get some writing done. And I think you'd be amazed at how many words you can get on paper if you just set aside a time every day to do some writing, but you do have to find a quiet time where, you know, family needs don't start pulling at you as, you know, the dishes and the laundry and the kids and, you know how it is. We all have those and the job. A lot of us are still working a full-time job.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm that way too. I'm an early morning person. And I'm up probably 3 hours every morning before my husband gets up. And that is my quiet time. And that is when I can do a lot of writing, for sure.
Now, I have a girlfriend who is, it's in reverse. Her husband is a very early bird. So by the time she gets up, he's already, you know, banging around in the kitchen and making coffee and all that. So she is a night owl. So she actually waits because he goes to bed early because he gets up early. So she waits and does her writing at night after he goes to bed. And she gets all the kids in bed and he goes to bed and everything's quiet. And then she spends an hour or so late at night because she's more of a night owl. So it's whatever works for you. Okay.
Yes.
There's no definite system. It's whatever system works for you. But I will tell you the key word, if you take anything away from this talk tonight, the key is consistency. You have to consistently be working on your project or else it's just kind of that dream in the back of your mind. You just tell yourself, someday I'm going to write a book. Someday I'm going to write a book. And so consistency is the key. And it's good to have an accountability partner too. My girlfriend and I, we decided that we're going to do a chapter a month, which, you know, once we get started, we realize that we could actually do a lot more than one chapter a month, but that is our commitment to each other is one chapter a month. And so right now, when I see her, I go, you better be on chapter 8 because this is August. And we started in January. So I'm like, you better be on chapter 8. And she's like, you better be on chapter 8. And so that does kind of keep us on target as well. So I love that as well. So what plans do you have for the future? I want to talk to you a little bit as you weave in what your plans are for the future. How did you create this amazing website and this business? You're doing speaking engagements. You're being interviewed like with us on this podcast. You're writing, you're into your third book. You're making it happen. How did you, you know, what was your vision for that? How did you decide to do all that?
Well, I didn't particularly have a vision in the beginning beyond writing. I mean, that was my vision there. And that came to fruition. And particularly that first year after the book released, after Discover Your Joy released, I did have a lot of requests for podcasts, and that kind of catapulted me into the speaking arena. And I do enjoy that. There is a lot of that you can do today online. There's more and more travel opportunities that are opening up as we have come past the pandemic, and I'm kind of game for any of it. I like people, and so I am happy to be out there on the front lines talking to them and shaking hands. I do love the speaking, but I want to write. You know, I love the speaking, and I wish I could just dedicate my life to speaking it on one hand, but on the other hand, my heart says just write. So it's a balance. It's a balance to try to figure all that out. And I know you know that. I mean, you've got a lot of things. You've got a lot of, you know, irons in the fire going on. And it you have to consciously balance your life for where your heart is.
I totally agree with that. And again, for our listeners, you get to decide what you want your life to look like. Mm-hmm. You might be an introvert. You might say, you know what? I just want to write. You know, I would love to just be a ghostwriter. Maybe, you know, maybe writing is where your joy is in the writing, not in the publishing. So it could be that you could be a ghostwriter because you could fit in so many different places in writing. Maybe you just want to write magazine articles and get published in magazines. And there's hundreds of thousands of magazines that you can get published in. You can even start your own magazine. And then you might say, I want to get published. I want my name on a book, on a novel. It doesn't doesn't matter what genre you're in. You might just say, I want to be published. And so that's what you want to go for. And it could be that you say, I want to create a legacy. I want to create a legacy for myself and for my family. And so I want to create some kind of a business that can continue on. And so you can make this writing anything you want it to be, as big or as small as you want. So don't feel like if you get involved in a writer's group, that if everybody is going to create a business around their writing, that, oh, I guess I have to do that, even though I really don't want to. You don't have to. It's whatever you want to do. It's whatever you want your life to look like. If you love public speaking, then you can take your book and go on tour with your book. And, you know, we see authors on these talk shows where they're talking about their book. That can be you. You can be on there. But one thing that I do know is I encourage everyone to get involved in some writers groups, get involved in some of these writers conferences, because when you lift up other writers, when you help them get what they want, then you get what you want. And so you have to give first and get second. So if you show up with the heart to serve and say, I just want to help anybody that's, you know, behind, we all have somebody that is struggling with where they are in their writing journey. They might say, how in the world did you get your first book published? And so you don't have to be way ahead of them. Sometimes just one or two steps ahead of them is perfect, because if some big guru writer comes in, sometimes we feel like we can't even relate to that person. We're like, I can't publish, you know, 15 books by next Tuesday. So you don't even relate to somebody that maybe has authored that many. Just surround yourself with writers and find your joy in the kind of life that you want to live. So, Louise, tell us how all of these folks can connect with you. How can they find you and how can they follow you? And I did put your website there. Dr. LaShawn, first of all, says, what are some suggestions for finding an accountability circle or accountability partner? Yes, Sandy said, if you're on Facebook, if you type in writing groups in whatever state you're in. And for all of you that are on this call, join us, the Ohio Writers Guild, and join us on our mastermind. And again, just connect with me and I will put you in contact with how to join our mastermind. So how can folks connect with you?
First, let me say, I am in a writing group that meets 2.5 hours twice a week. And we kind of all go around the group. It's a Zoom group. They're actually in California. I'm in North Carolina. So I just connected with them and it works. But we kind of go around and we all talk about what we're going to be working on that day. And then we have 2 hours of writing time and then we come back and talk about what we did. But everybody on there is quick to offer their wisdom. They're quick to offer to read something for you. I mean, it is an amazing group. I'm also in a group. And the local library has a writing group. And that is a real possibility. The libraries have somewhat taken a back seat in the last some years with between Amazon and you can download almost anything these days. But the libraries really probably have writing groups, particularly in the larger cities. But you ask about where to find me, and I am actually on social media almost everywhere, you know, Facebook and Instagram and what used to be Twitter and LinkedIn, and they're all use my personal name, Louise Pistol. And of course, on my website, you can always send me messages on the website there. There is a place for that.
Perfect. 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 I love it. Any questions or comments from the audience? And in the meantime, Sandy, please tell the folks how they can get in touch with you. And because I know now your writer's workshop has just ended for this year. And so for those of you that missed it, you really missed it. So put it on your calendar, first weekend in August of next year. And Sandy, what can you bring to the table? How can folks get in touch with you? And what can you help them with?
The easiest thing is just to, I'm almost finished typing it here, is just to email me at sandy@intothespringswritersworkshop.com. And if you have a question, I'll be more than happy to answer it. But you're right, trying to find, as Dr. LaShawn was saying, how do you find that accountability person? How do you find that accountability circle? And my comment was, well, what if I was just starting out at the first time? It's almost impossible nowadays not to be involved in some kind of an online group. I think Facebook, though some people think of it as the grandparents' version of social media, seems to be holding steady. And mm-hmm. if you type in your search and saying, let's say you're from Pennsylvania, Ohio Writing Groups in Pennsylvania, and see what pops up, there might be one within driving distance if you want to be there in person. I know the one, I'm in a romance writers group that rotates its meetings. They physically meet at a public library in the Dayton, Ohio area. Then the next month, they're at a public library in the Columbus area, and they also do Zoom. And they have groups like plotters. They get together once a month. One group meets on Zoom, the other one meets in person, and they talk about problems they're having with their story. And we brainstorm ways of helping that out. Or if people are kind of stuck in a corner, how to get them out of that corner, how to get them moving. We have something called Magic Spreadsheet. And it's kind of like NaNoWriMo, in which you pledge to write, like say 5,000 words this month. And every time you write consistently, day after day, you get a point. And then you get an extra point if you do it without breaking up. And then at the end, you may win. Okay, it's silly. Someone came up with the stuffed emu. But if you win with the meeting your goal the best, better than anybody, you get to take home the emu for the month. Or we just pat you on the back and say, good job. There's another couple that I talked to. They met at an Into the Springs. And all they do is when they are writing, they'll text, and all they'll put is, like, you know, those little emojis, the little cartoony things. They have a pencil, and they send the picture of the pencil to the other person just to tell that other person, well, I'm writing right now. That's it. They don't say hello. They don't say how much they're writing. It's just something as if it could be as simple as that. But a lot of times, if you're out there thinking you're the only one struggling through this, please think again. Start somewhere. And you're right, Kathy. Libraries do not want to become irrelevant. And they are stretching out there. They've got writing groups. Walk mm-hmm. into your public library and say, you know, I'm really looking for a writer's group. I'm really looking for maybe a couple writers or one writer that I can just chat with. Again, I know in the Dayton area, there's something mm-hmm. called Wright Writers, and in honor of the Wright brothers. And they meet and they write together. They do nothing but all you see is the parts of their hair because they're all bent over their tablet. But they're all doing it together, and some people feed off that energy. So
yes, yeah. And it is about energy, and it's about coming together and having that, you know, that camaraderie and community. It's huge. Linda said she would really like that email. And I know that you're typing that, Sandy, so that she can connect with the Into the Springs. And Sarah says, do you have to have social media in order to market your book or have an author presence? She says she heavily prefers not to be on social media. You do not have to be on social media. First of all, if you're going to be published, whether you're traditionally published or whether you're going to be self-published, Amazon is like one of the largest search engines in the world. And so if you're on Amazon, you're out there. You do not have to spend all your time on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest or any of those. Now, if you enjoy the social media aspect, you certainly can sprinkle yourself across the social media, and that does help, but you don't have to be on social media. Again, you can put yourself wherever you want to be in this community as a writer. And again, you can be behind the scenes kind of writer, where you're just writing for other people, or you can be totally upfront and a public speaker talking all about the book that you just published. So, and anywhere in between. So you can really fit in anywhere that you want to fit in. And I think that's what I really want you to know, is that you don't have to pick someone and say, I've got to do everything they're doing in order to be successful. Because you can find your own little niche there. And again, your tribe will find you. So just remember that. Just be authentically you. Okay. Dr. LaShawn says, very helpful. I have to run to a meeting. Yes. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
Thank you.
Yes, Sandy put in the details for next year into the Springs Writers Workshop in Yellow Springs, and beautiful hotel, by the way. And it's going to be all about what, mystery and crime novel
so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm in, because I want to write. I want to write cozy mysteries. So this is going to be a perfect one for me next year, and so mark it on your calendars, depending on. What your schedule is like, but get connected somewhere with a larger community, and it will help motivate you. Any last comments or inspiration from anyone before we go today? Louise, how about you?
Well, the one thing I would like to say is that I would want to challenge everyone just to go out into the world and shine your light and share your joy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And again, for those of you that are listening, tune in to the Ohio Writers Guild. We're on every month talking with a different author, and just, we're kind of pulling back the curtain and let you see how the soup is made.
Yep.
Because it's all different. Yeah. It's all different. So join us every month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there are a lot of folks who look at thinking their favorite book is like Gone with the Wind, and they think their book has to look like Gone with the Wind from the moment they write the first word, and it takes a while to get to that point. So never be discouraged.
And I talked with an author at the Writers Conference, Sandy, and I'll just toss this out before we go. I had a gal, and she was feeling very insecure. She made the comment. She goes, I don't even feel like I'm worthy to be here. And no. I said, don't feel that way. And I said, what makes you feel that way? And she goes, oh, I'm hearing people read on open mic night. She said, there are some writers in the room. And I said, oh, absolutely. And she said, I just don't feel like I'm even worthy to be in the room with some of these folks. Mm-hmm. And she said, I want to write and I don't know where to start. And I said, have you thought about blogging? Because what it does, if you start a blog, now your entire commitment is just a couple of paragraphs.
Yes.
Commitment's not a whole novel. And she is a restaurant owner. And she said, oh, I could blog about some of my recipes over the years. And I said, absolutely. So she's going to connect with me sometime later down the road, and she wants to start a food blog. So we'll see how that works.
I think we've got, or maybe it's just me. In fact, I just sent her something today, and I told her to do just that. And I'm going to meet her in a month. And this is what I want to see with her being done. And she likes to work with, she's a cook, chef.
Yeah.
So I gave her a recipe. You're going to do this, 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 and this. And a month from now, we're going to meet in Yellow Springs, and you're going to tell me how it went. So, yeah.
Perfect. I love it. I love it.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you that are trying to get started and you're not sure how to start, start with a blog. That gets you writing. That'll get you writing, and that'll get you published out there on a blog post. And then, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, because that's so simple to what Louise was talking about with her journal. A blog is a public journal. Of course, you always have to know your audience. So it's a little different than your personal journal. But yeah, no, that's it. Get your thoughts out there.
And actually, I did blog. I did blog in the very beginning, and I only do a few blogs now just because I do spend my time, writing for a book. Mm-hmm. But the blogging was good in that you do get comments on that, and that helps you know if you're going in the right direction or not, to some degree. Yes.
And it helps you find your voice, I think, too. It helps you find your voice, and you start to get more comfortable being your authentic self, and your tribe starts to find you early. And all of that works together to help you feel more confident that you can do this thing. So simply start, get started, connect with us, connect with Sandy, connect with Louise, and we'll see you next time on the Ohio Writers Guild.
Thank you, Louise. Thank you, Kathy.
You bet. Bye now.